Tom Keegan here with Gary Bedour, the KU basketball beat writer. It's Thursdays with Gary. And Gary, before we get into Josh Jackson, the newest one-and-done sensation that Kansas has recruited, I want to ask if you remember your first KU basketball game that you ever covered for the Journal World.
No, because I did a few for the Kansas. The Daily Kansan, so I do not remember what first game would have been.
How about for the Kansan? Do you remember the first game for them?
No, but it was with Ted Owens as the coach.
Wow.
But I don't remember the specific game.
What year would it have been?
Let's see, 75.
75, so...
Ted...
Gerald Ford would have been the president?
It might have been 77. It was when Ken Kennings was a senior.
So Jimmy Carter was probably the president?
Yeah.
So, but, Carter, Reagan, Bush won. Clinton won.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, now, tell me about... Josh Jackson. To me, it seems like there's no way that he will be one of these low-impact, one-and-done guys like Kelly Oubre, Cliff Alexander, Josh Selby. Not that we thought Selby would be, but he had the whole suspension and then the foot injury and all that. He's got to be in the group of Embiid, McLemore, Wiggins, and Xavier Henry, doesn't he? I mean, there's no way this guy busts.
Yeah, he should be a starter from day one and take all of Wayne Selden's minutes. And he should be able to produce, I would think, the way all the coaches keep saying what a winner he is.
Yeah, that's the most encouraging thing, I think, the way they talked about how competitive he is. Because Self always holds that carrot, and it's not real quick to give guys credit for that unless they really, really earn it. And in his mind, it seems like Jackson has already proven to Self that he's a real competitive guy.
Yeah. Most of the people say that he's so competitive, but everybody points out that he's got not a very good shot, so that's kind of weird how they gush about him and then they always mention his shot isn't very good, which is pretty important.
Yeah, but maybe.
I think he'll be good, but he won't have an amazing national title impact by himself, like a LeBron James or something.
Right.
I mean, ESPN didn't put him number one. They decided to go with Giles.
So right.
I think he'll be a great player for a year, but who knows?
Who knows is right.
Somebody's going to have to work on his shot, I guess, unless he scores off the drive the whole time. But he'll fit right in.
Plus, he's not afraid to pass. They say he's unselfish.
Yeah.
So, and Derek Thornton, the Duke transfer, he left there because he didn't get enough pick and rolls. He said that Krzyzewski convinced him to come a year early, you know, to graduate a year early, and you know, with the idea that he'd get pick and rolls, and he didn't get as many as Chris Dunn got for Providence. So he bolted from there. I wonder, just from a distance, he had the blue blood experience. It didn't work out. I don't know. I'm kind of feeling USC or Miami here. He's also going to visit Washington. But who knows? I mean, yeah. Kansas is very influential, persuasive. He's given him a chance to compete for a national title. What are you feeling on him?
You never know what these guys are thinking. But for all we know, it's just a done deal that he wants to go to the next blue blood, that KU has minutes available. He'll be the next leader, and for all we know, it could be cut and dried. If he wants to go back home, he's already done the blue blood thing, stay in California, go to USC. But I don't really know what he's thinking, but I think, you know, it could be either one. It could be it's just a done deal. Kansas has minutes. He's the next... He'd be the next lead guard on that team in 2 years because Mason will be gone. Graham may go pro. Josh Jackson's going pro, so that would leave Vic.
Yeah.
this guy, Derek Thornton, in theory, he and his dad could just be thinking, all right, you know, we're going to go to Kansas and do it there.
Yeah, one thing I do like about him, he was ranked like 12th or something?
Yeah.
Although I thought Bragg
14th.
Yeah, Bragg was 12th, I think. Or no, it was Bragg 20th or something.
Oh, Carlin Bragg, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I like the fact that he's ranked 14th. Most guys who are ranked 14th coming out of high school, if things didn't work out at the school they picked, they would just go to the NBA. You know, like Brandon Green. Things didn't work out for Kansas, for Brandon Green. Neither party did things work out. You would have thought he'd have greatly benefited by transferring somewhere, sitting out, working on his game, and then getting in a program where he could take 12 to 15 shots and really showcase what he's got. Instead, he declared for the NBA draft and hired an agent. And so I like that Thornton has not, you know, decided, because he was highly ranked in high school, he's going to go to the pros right away. That shows some wisdom.
Yeah, that does, because he's got to sit out a year wherever he goes. So, you know, whether he's planning on staying 1 year and going pro, who knows? But, yeah, you're right, because I did do some research on old articles, and one of the first articles out there after a game or two was, will Derek Thornton turn pro after his freshman year? So he was highly regarded enough to be, you know, it wouldn't be, if he had a bad attitude, like you said, he could have turned pro, you know, and just said, I was at Duke a year. But
didn't have great shooting numbers at Duke, but that's pretty typical for a freshman.
No.
Plus, if he got more pick and rolls, he would have had better numbers.
Al Featherstone wrote a good article out there saying that they're bringing in so many good players, he probably would have only played 10 minutes a game this year. But then when all those good players turned pro, he would have been great his junior year, he thought, and his senior year. So that would bode well for KU, because he sits out a year, goes against Josh Jackson and everybody every day. And then his
makes them better, gets better going against them.
Because Thornton will really have to be a good player for KU to continue its dominance in 2 years. Because the whole perimeter will probably need to be rebuilt. And they'd like to get Trey Young and Michael Porter to go with Thornton and Vic. So that's four. But they could have nobody back, you know, with any experience at all. Except
Vic. But every time we look at that, when we think, oh boy, this is finally going to be the year we project out. 2 years from now will finally be the year that Kansas topples off and, you know, has to sweat it out on Selection Sunday. Wrong. They're a one or a two seed
pretty much every year. Yeah, because he could always get a fifth-year transfer, too. And
the next one and done, you know.
Yeah.
I mean.
So Porter and Trey Young would be in that class with Thornton in the backcourt. Which would be...
So maybe he will come to KU.
Self would like that.
When he looks at all that and feels like winning a national title. And also, the way to stick it to a blue blood is to transfer to another blue blood.
Yeah. It's just, you know, we don't know the kid yet, so I don't know if he wants to just stick around California. But my gut feeling is everybody thinks they have a great shot at him around here. Because he's... What the blue blood, the new blue blood KU has the minutes, and it has, you know, he'll have to be a good player for them to have a good year that year.
And he'll be a guy who's 3 years out of high school instead of fresh out of high school, which gives him more physical maturity. He will have been practicing for a third year instead of his first year of adjusting. He may end up coming here.
Yeah, I think his dad really likes it, and I think the kid will be sold on it. I don't know what kind of recruiter Andy Enfield is at USC, but you know, this seems like one of those kind of like Kevin Young deals to me, where a guy just comes in, here's the pitch, here's how he's going to be definitely a factor, and just comes here.
And last thing, Gary, you've been on the scene here since the 1970s. Can you ever remember a disparity in interest between basketball mm-hmm. and football as great as it is right this moment?
Great question, but probably not. Because I remember one time they got beat by Wichita State in football and people were totally despondent, but they sort of, you know, they still cared. I believe Fambro was the coach. And they lost 9-7 to Wichita State in the opener, I believe it was. And everybody knew they were going to be terrible, but now you just get the feeling that there's just absolutely no buzz.
Yeah, apathy, crickets.
And
that's worse than anger.
Maybe the opening victory will get everybody going. Because a lot of schools, you win a couple games against bad opponents. Even remember TCU in basketball one year? They were like 12-13, 14-0.
Right.
And even they were getting votes. KU needs to do that. They need to play. And don't they have a easy opener?
They do. Rhode Island. And then they have a couple of tough non-con games against Ohio here and Memphis on the road. But the problem with the 10-team conference where you play everybody once, you only get to schedule 3 non-conference games, and you schedule them several years ago. So back when these games were scheduled, yeah. It's when Kansas thought they were going to be good in football, you know, because of the Tlaib and Reasoning upgrade, and they thought that was going to maintain. So even if they can get to the point where they're just scheduling 3 stiffs to open the year every year, they still need to get better, first of all, to win all 3 of those games, and then to win 3 more to get into a bowl game. They're just so far behind, and I think that anger has given way to apathy, and that's really, really dangerous when that happens.
Yeah. Their hope is to beat Rhode Island and then have the magical game against Ohio. Because, I mean, is that who they play, Ohio?
I think it's Ohio before Memphis, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, it's not out of the, you know, it's not like Ohio's Ohio State, so.
But Frank Solich, the old Nebraska coach, is their coach, yep.
Wow, and he's a good coach.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no buzz. You don't hear too much about the football stadium getting renovated or anything. But,
nah. They got to win some games for any buzz, for anybody to reach into their pockets and talk about any renovations or anything.
I know the people enjoy going to the games, tailgate, but they're going to, who knows? It's just, what do you think? I mean, they've got to win.
Yeah, and they're not going to win this year. They're going to win maybe 2 games this year. 2-10 would be the smartest prediction. 3 wouldn't be out of the question. 1-11 would not be out of the question either. So I think the smart prediction is 2-10. They're going to have to earn it.
Mm.
And they haven't done a great job of publicizing themselves. David Beatty was available to the media on the first practice, after the first practice of the spring, and then not until after the spring game. That was a little bit puzzling.
You never know what they're thinking in major college sports, you know. To sell tickets, you're supposed to want publicity.
Yet they put up roadblocks left and right, don't they?
And the media still does a good job, we do anyway, of covering them. And,
we cover them like they're Ohio State University.
Yeah. And, you know, it's through roadblocks. I mean, he should be talking all the time. But he won't do it.
Yeah, I've got to have lunch with him and explain that all to him.
They've got to win the opener. And
Win the opener. They'll destroy Rhode Island. Rhode Island's one of the worst football programs in America. I mean, they're 1AA and went 1-10. Mm-hmm. But they can't be eking out a victory in that game. They've got to destroy them.
Yeah, because people will... like I said, wasn't it TCU that was 14-0 that one year, and it was just
in basketball.
Smoke and mirrors. They weren't very good.
Right.
They just somehow found all these bad teams to clobber.
Well, KU women's basketball 1 year did that too, if you remember.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. They were, and they almost won their league opener, I think, that year with Bonnie.
And they've got to pay more attention to scheduling too. This year, they've, for the fourth year in a row, they'll have a home game when the students are on break. Mm. Can't you call the conference and just say, look, our students are on break. Can we have this? Can we be on the road this week? But is there enough attention even paid to football in the department to do something like that? Or is everybody just a basketball fan?
Yeah.
Shooting hoops at the end of football practice and having Charles Barkley mock you. That was a low point, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Although I keep saying this is the low point, and then it gets lower.
Well, plus, it's just their quarterback got hurt playing basketball.
Right.
I mean, it's just they're in a – it's a laughable stretch.
And the quarterback the previous spring got hurt getting smoked by a walk-on safety.
Yeah.
In the spring football game when he had a red shirt on. You're not allowed to touch him.
Yeah, both those are just mind-boggling.
All right. Gary Bedore still insists he will not join us on KU Sports Extra, our video show, but he is going to join us for weekly podcasts. And thanks for joining us for the inaugural, it's a hard word, inaugural for the first Thursdays with Gary.